another classic from Albedo, Bet Black Sheep, I guess.
This is not classic. Just because something is a funny saying doesn't mean it can make turn into a funny song. That's totally different from Potatoes, which is just is clever and funny. This is just
3.4 million views beg to differ.
3.4 million people are wrong.
Or that remash of Potatoes only had 700,000 views.
Seriously, what's wrong with people?
Let's fade that out.
Yeah, okay.
But there's alien ants dancing with coconuts flying in and out of their butts. What are you going to drink?
The stuff.
Drink the stuff with the stuff in that.
Yeah.
All right, so Greg.
So Jeff.
So, what's been going on this week? Anything stressful at work going on?
For me, projects are getting done on time and on schedule.
That's good.
I am acing stuff. I'm just pounding stuff out. I'm doing well. It's great. I'm working at home 3 days a week. Huh. It's wonderful.
That's nice. You know...
Yes, I had to pay $1,600 to get my car fixed. And there's more to come.
What was wrong with it?
I had a light on my dashboard, and check engine light, and then the brake light was flashing too. And then I started having this weird thing where I'd be at stoplights, it would start to go vum, 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 vum. So I was like, oh, okay, I better bring it in. So they thought that the engine thing was, it looked like there's, I guess, some carbon buildup in it, and they could run some fuel mixer and stuff to clear it out. And that wouldn't cost that much. It only, you know, the diagnostic was expensive, but everything after that was pretty cheap. But then there was the brake thing, and that was, I had to replace all my brakes, front and back. There's also some stuff they had to do, like they had to fix the engine mount. They put two stabilizer bars in there. They had to put a ball joint in. Mm. A lot of stuff, things that would come up on inspection anyway. So it was like, yeah, fix it. I mean, he said, you know.
Do you have a garage that you trust?
Yeah, I have a garage I trust, yeah. No.
And they start putting in stabilizers and you know, stuff like that. And, like, starting to think, like, where are they?
I told them to do it. I mean, they didn't say you had to do it. They said, mm-hmm. you know, we can do this, or, you know, you do all of this. And I said, do it all. Because I said, look, that's what savings are for. You know, expect a set of cars. I expect to pay $1,500 a year for a car, basically. It's going to end up being more than that. But, yeah, so... And I had to fix brakes.
Mm-hmm.
And the engine mount, those things go bad. Yeah, Damien said the only thing that he thought was kind of fishy was stabilizer bars. I was like, I trust them. I need to be put in there. These guys I totally trust. There are other guys who I'd be suspicious of. These guys, though, I trust. They don't advertise. One of their points is they don't advertise. They go by word of mouth only.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I mean, when you hear stabilizer bars, like, I remember the time that I took the car to Meineke or Aramco to get exhaust done, right?
Uh-huh.
And they're like, oh, your CV boots need replaced, you got to put in new half axles. And I was still a kid at the time, and I was pressured, you know, not pressured into it, but talked. You know, or like, you know, I felt like, oh, I should do that. And I, you know, I've always regretted, you know, doing those things, you know, on their suggestion. But, you know, as long as you trust the guys. And
I do trust. These guys in particular, I trust. But let's see here. Let me post this to you. But, yeah, so it ended up being a case where, okay, so all this kind of stuff got fixed, but the engine stuff really wasn't, you know, there was just this, it was this thing where it was a bunch of codes in there, and so he thought this might fix it, but he wasn't sure.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that to me. He said, you know, I can't guarantee this is going to fix it, but I see a problem happening here, and I can at least do something about it. And it turned out to be, you know, a small bit of the, it was like a $1,200 bill, but then the extra money was for a rental car for the period of time they had it. So I dropped it off Monday. They didn't really fix it until Thursday. I could have probably dropped it off on Tuesday and saved me some time, but
mm-hmm.
that would have been harder for me. I had to go into work Tuesday and Thursday. It was a rough bit. So, gotcha. Anyway. But, so, you know, drive it, started to drive it, the brakes obviously felt better immediately, but I got another check engine light in the car. I was like, okay, it's weird. And they just, I thought they just fixed it, but then I remembered he said that he wasn't sure that that was going to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So he took a look at it again, and apparently what's going on is there's a, is a junction point or something where it's letting in air, so it's getting a lean mix.
Okay.
He needs to get it the part from a dealer because it's not like a regular part. So maybe I have to leave it whatever Wednesday and maybe wait a day or two for it to get fixed. But it shouldn't be too much. But I do have to get it fixed again. So right now, actually, I have to drop into neutral when I'm at stopped, because it's fine when I'm driving. Mm-hmm. But if I'm at a light and it starts to go low, it starts to chug and mm-hmm. and like gas for air.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to put in the neutral and just rev it up a little bit.
Yeah, get that fixed.
Yeah, it's not hurting the car any. It's just, you know, it's hurting my gas mileage a bit, but it's not hurting the car.
Mm-hmm.
So,
has that you put in, you know, premium fuel a while back in the light when you went up to Cherry Springs, right?
Right, right.
And that's when the light first came on.
That's when the light first came on.
Did you mention this? Is there any causation?
I should ask him that question. But I didn't ask that question.
I mean, you would think no, especially like as they're putting in fuel injector cleaner and stuff like that to get the carbon, because the higher octane fuel helps with that, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the whole point was, okay, I'm taking this on a journey, I might as well put good gas in it because I want it to pop better, mm-hmm. you know, as it's doing its journey, as it's doing its 270-mile journey, whatever it was.
You should mention that, just to see if, I mean, it's probably coincidence, but... Be neat to hear what the mechanic says.
Yeah, but that light has been on since then, mm-hmm. and I just got it fixed 2 weeks ago or last week. Yeah, 2 weeks ago, but you know that stuff with that stop sign just started happening.
Mm-hmm. And you took your car to, you know, Advance Auto or something to get the codes read. And what was the code that they said that was?
Oxygen.
Okay.
Which. At first, it said it could be an oxygen sensor, but no, it actually, it was lean.
It was actually where 90% of the time the sensor goes bad.
Yeah.
The sensor was actually working.
Yes.
That's fun. So, Allie and I made goo today.
Yes. Goo.
Goo.
This is cool. This was... Oh, explain. You can explain the formulation.
A little backstory. I was, you know, watching stuff on YouTube on my little Western Digital TV thing, and I found the Make channel. And one of the things on the Make channel was Sylvia's Super Awesome Mini Maker Show. And this is a show where the host is a 9-year-old girl who solders things and sews things and makes things. And it kind of caught Allie's attention. I'm like... This is awesome.
Yeah.
You know? And like the catchphrase at the end of the show when she's signing off is go out and make something. Allie's like, let's go. You know, she that's her, like she like adopted that thing. So there's a lot of the shows are for someone older than 4 years old. You know, Allie can't solder, you know, even the periscope where we made a little box periscope with mirrors. You know, that was me doing a lot of measuring and cutting and Allie was sitting beside me watching episodes of Sylvia's Super Awesome Mini Maker Show, you know, over and over again, while I spent, you know, while, you know, crafting together this periscope. But there was two other things that, you know, she was really into and that were easy to make. One was this heatless lava lamp. And what this is pretty simple concept. You take a clear plastic water bottle, about 2 inches of water in the bottom, and you add food coloring. Make it red, orange, green, whatever you want. And then you fill the rest of the bottle with vegetable oil. So the vegetable oil sits on top of the water, and red water sits at the bottom. And then you want to throw in something that's fizzy. Alka-Seltzer's the easy way to do it. Costs a little bit more. You could also do something like, you know, when you add vinegar and baking soda together, it fizzes. But if you add vinegar to baking soda and then try putting the bottle, it's not going to work so well. So another thing that works is you can get, you just need an acid, right? So you can get powdered citric acid from like the canning part of the grocery store. So you can mix your baking soda and citric acid together as a powder. And when it drops through the oil, it doesn't do anything. But when it hits the water, it starts to interact. And
what about cream of, if cream of tartar would work? Because it's tartaric acid.
It right? might be. It might. We just bought, I went the easy way and just bought, you know, a pack of Alka-Seltzer. And you break them in half, toss them in. And when the CO2 bubbles rise, it pulls some of the colored water with it through the oil. So you get this little lava lamp type effect. Greg couldn't see it today because we were out of Alka-Seltzer. We just used the last couple today. But so that's a little project that is easy that Allison could help with. She could pour things. She could put drops in. And she liked that. And then today we made goo. I think they call it crazy putty on the episode. You take Elmer's glue, you know, school glue, and you dilute it in water a little bit. And then you get some borax, which is a natural laundry detergent that forms in dry lake beds or something like that.
It's got boron in it. So that's why it's called borax, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you just put in a little teaspoon of this in water, and you pour it. And there's polymer chains in the glue, and the borax links the polymer chains together. So and right away it turns into this stringy, gooey stuff.
A non-Newtonian fluid.
Yeah, it's a lot like silly putty, but not as putty, right? Yeah. It you know, it's the same way where you can stretch it or you can rip it, but the ripping part happens a lot easier, you know? And it's definitely a lot more fluid than silly putty is. But man, did the kids have fun playing with that today.
Yeah, I had fun playing with it too.
It's, I think the website is sylviashow.com. Yeah, sylviashow.com, if you want to get your kids into making things.
I will send that to Ava, because she'll probably enjoy the heck out of that. She'll love the goop.
Yeah. There's like, you know, the newest one is Make Your Own Backpack Buddy, where she takes a large stuffed animal, cuts it, and puts a little pouch in it, so there's backpack straps on it, so you get your own backpack animal. Some of the other episodes, there's a few soldering ones, where she's doing circuits from Make or from Adafruit. Ellie's favorite video to watch is the one where they do the monochrome clock kit. Because there's a little bit of imagination. Like, the clock can do anything. And she likes watching that one just for the production value. sewing wearable circuits. Like, they make little stuffed animals with glowing eyes and use, like, conductive thread. It's neat. And actually, Allie wanted to send Sylvia a thank you note. So we sent her a card and a little video. Well, Allie made a card, but there's no mailing address on the website. So we sent her pictures of the card and a little video. So really cool stuff for little kids, though. Get out there and make something, like the slogan says.
Cool. Very cool. So, anyway, you were talking about work, and I interrupted rudely about my car.
No, that's okay. I don't want to talk about it. No. It was a difficult time for me, because I had to let somebody go.
So tell me about, not, and I'm not going to get into the details of who it was, why you had to let somebody go, but it's a tough thing, I imagine. To let somebody go. So, what was that? How did you feel doing it?
I mean, it's, unfortunately, it always has to be somewhat of a surprise. Especially when the person's an IT person and has the keys to the kingdom.
Right.
You know, you definitely can't have disgruntled. How to mitigate the surprise, and did I mitigate the surprise, was really my biggest concern, right? I didn't want it to be completely out of left field, right? If it was completely out of left field, I wasn't doing my job.
Did you give him warnings?
We did, yes. Yes, yeah. There was... So, after the last time we had the warning... Well, there's two things. really I'm thinking about, and you know, I'm trying to say, well, figure out whether I did the right thing, you know, the right enough thing. So, you know, had talks with my manager and our HR person about this, you know, ship up or shape out, you know, shape up or ship out type talk, right? You know, be positive. Don't focus on the negatives. And I'm wondering if I didn't cover the negative possibilities enough, you know, or at all, almost, you know, like, I wonder if I just was trying to point out the positives. We did talk about the needs improvements, but we didn't really talk about the consequences of the needs improvements, right? And I'm wondering, like, so I'm wondering if I, but like, I was
did
told,
he get a formal warning in writing?
Well, we don't want to talk about two details too much on the air.
Well, I'm just wondering for the purpose of...
The person was a contractor, so there's not as much...
Okay, so it's not...
Not as much, you know...
Employee as you do.
But I had tons of training into the person, right? So I wanted the person to succeed. If the person had the capacity to succeed, I would have preferred that outcome. And... We just had to make a decision because there was certain things that just were not changing. And I had even come to acceptance of a new, like, so there was what I wanted the position to be.
Uh-huh.
And we weren't there.
Right.
So there was what I could accept the position to be, right? If we could get to that point.
Sure.
I was still fine with it. You know, and it, I don't know how I'd characterize that. You know, significantly reduced isn't really the right, but I mean, it was a lot less than what I wanted the position to be, but I could still live with it. And we just couldn't consistently get there, so I just.
Now, how much are you? That's too quick. Because I was going to ask how much is this person making. Even asking that question is too much of a question. So,
yeah.
But. They're not making your kind of salary, right? I mean, they're making...
No, it's entry-level.
It's an entry-level
IT position. Yeah. It's not an entry-level data entry position. It's an entry-level IT position. So, I mean, it's making money, but it's not making a ton of money. And you know, in this particular case, you know, the guy was making what he said he wanted to make. Right? I mean... But I don't think it was a compensation thing. I think it was just a capacity thing for, you know, this particular case. Just...
Not everyone's going to work out.
Yeah. That's... It's a shame. I hope the person wasn't blindsided too much. I mean, it's always going to be a surprise, especially when you have the keys to the kingdom, like I said. So hopefully he understands that. I'm sure he knows the things that were deficient. You know, we had talks even after the talk about those things. Yeah, so did I let him know the consequences were dire? You know, and that's the question, right? I told him, you know, here's things we need improvement on. But since I was told to keep it positive, I never said, if you don't, we will let you go.
That doesn't always need to be said.
Right.
I mean, you told him things need improvement, but you...
I need you to do these things consistently, is something I did say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've been fired... Never fired anybody.
It's not easy. And especially, like, I mean, it's not like I have a team to pick up the slack, right?
Yeah.
I had a lot of training invested. I would have preferred it worked out instead of starting over. It's a shame.
That's the thing where, being a big corporation, you can absorb those things easier if you have a bigger team. And it's also easier for somebody to fade into the crowd,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to situation where you are, where every single person's contribution is bright light shown.
It's that it. I mean, I was even considering, like, okay, this is his capacity. maybe the next headcount I get, hire above him. You know, maybe he's, you know. But it just, at the accelerator rate where I would have needed that next headcount, you know, it just, it couldn't be justified. And then also just the lack of consistency. I was to the point where I had to double check everything.
Now, what I think is funny is we've talked about Jeff being kind of an asshole, and there was a situation that came up afterwards. I won't get into it, but it was a situation that confirmed some people's opinion of Jeff being that way. And Jeff didn't.
It's completely subconscious a-holeness. The new Wi-Fi password.
You don't have to get into it if you don't want to.
No, I won't. I'm not going to say what it is. The new Wi-Fi password, my subconscious made it mean something to the whole situation.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because when I was picking new passwords, the Wi-Fi password is not random crap because we tell it to lots of people. It needs to be something that's memorable. So we try to find certain catchy ways to make it memorable. I had passed on 2, maybe 3 other Wi-Fi passwords because I was worried it could be taken the wrong way. And it turns out the one that I picked that passed my filter is as bad or maybe the worst.
I don't know, the one that you also said to me was a possibility, that would have been pretty bad too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, I'm... what I find most funny about the password is from a programming perspective, the password is wrong. The password is horrible. Gets you into an endless loop. But Jeff's not a programmer. He doesn't do that kind of stuff.
By the way, I'm going to have to fire Damien for divulging the password to you. Get that a-hole fired.
You don't have to do that.
No, but
you
can't.
I guess you could. But
I don't think it would happen. Damien's a valued valued employee of the company, and I don't think our management tree meets. I don't think I can make the argument to let Damien.
I mean,
go.
Let's face it. I've known a lot about your company from a couple sources now that you didn't want to know public, and I didn't tell anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell anybody. There's no reason for me to.
I didn't realize there was any connotation to this new password until Damien called me out on it. And I am. He's like, dick move, bro. I'm like, what? He's like, the new password. I'm like... And then, like, when he wrote it back to me, I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, believe me, if I wanted to tell, like, let's say, a rival company about your company and get, like, paid off for it, I probably could, but I don't because, A, I'm not that person, and B, you know, I think I'm a relatively trustworthy in that sense. I don't do that to people. Mm-hmm. So I think you can be okay with the fact that Damien shared the Wi-Fi password that's printed on a piece of paper and stuck to a wall.
That was just for one day.
It's hardly a secret, hardly a trade secret when anyone can go around and grasp it, so.
It was only, well, everyone gets to know it, and it was only in places where employees could occupy. It wasn't like out in the hallway.
Mm-hmm. Frankly, when he told me that it was something crazy, I was expecting worse. I was thinking past with like I fired that douche. I mean, this is, you know, it's problematic, I'll admit, but it's also like it's not, you have to read into it a bit to see where it's problematic. Mm-hmm. Whereas like, yeah, well, I was predicting like no, sorry, I'm done, that guy, haha, loser. Or something like those lines.
I didn't know how to handle it when Damien pointed that out. I was like, do I need to apologize to people? Do I need to change the password? I'm like, and then I talked with a few people, you know, nearby. and they hadn't seen it. They hadn't put it together.
Yeah.
So they were like me, and
they're like, oh, were they like, oh, yeah, I guess I see how it can be construed. They were well, like, they, oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, they saw how it could be construed, but it there's a theme to the Wi-Fi passwords.
Right.
And this is just part of the theme, and that's how I saw it, and that's how I think most people saw it. Or they're just thinking, man, that Jeff's an asshole.
Well, as I said, I disagree with the statement. From a logical standpoint, at the very least. But I also disagree with the sentiment. I don't think it's always true. In fact, I sometimes think it's more wrong than right.
Well, it's... No, it's a memorable phrase.
Yes,
that's why it exists. That's why it's there.
I wish I could tell you what it was,
but you can't.
But I can't,
and I'm not going to tell you the previous ones. But it's just memorable.
What else is going on? I mean,
I'm looking for help. Anyone?
If you want to get in this miasma of nonsense.
I'm a good boss if you don't... I'm not going to talk about that. That's Greg. I'm a good boss.
Oh, yeah. He's a wonderful boss.
How old was I then? I was 20 years old. 19 years old.
He holds things against you for so long. No, I mean, to be fair, there were things I did that were really stupid, and I still got away with it. Assmaster, Pennsylvania.
I can't, I mean, I don't think Assmaster is really the thing I hold against. I mean, I was stressed when I heard about it. I'm like, oh, we're all getting fired. We're losing this account. I don't remember details. I just remember it was really hard to manage Greg, who was also my friend.
I was deeply unmotivated. Deeply unmotivated. I was 22, 23. I was smoking weed every day. I was in a situation where I was driving 30.
It could have been... I don't know, because I wasn't 21 then. Was I? I don't think so.
Maybe it was a little lower.
Yeah, you were a little younger, but...
Maybe I was on 26. I don't know. It was. I was in my mid to late 20s. I was...
You're really shifting things now. No, because this was... 98?
98, yeah.
Oh, I guess I was drinking it. See, I was thinking for a lot of that time at Notcom, you know, guys would go out drinking and I couldn't. I started there in 97, so I was 21 then. Why couldn't I? Why is that not lining up? Oh, maybe it was the beginning of the year. And then, okay. Maybe
yeah, I'm only about a year old, less than a year older than me. Yeah, so,
yeah. It was like so 20... maybe it was, you know, because I started there. I'm trying to think what month I would have started. It was definitely 97, but it was before my birthday. So that's maybe that was just a few months where they were always going out to the Chick Loft, place they called the Chick Loft, and I couldn't go. Maybe it just seemed like a longer stretch there than it was.
But anyway, yeah, so, yeah, it was early 20s. Mm-hmm. It was, we didn't even know who we were. So, yeah, I was not at all interested in doing much work. And frankly, neither was Jeff, as much as Jeff wants to think he was. He was a pretty shitty employee, too. We were all shitty employees. It was a shitty company. Things changed when I surrounded myself, you know, thanks to Jeff, I got a different job. Jeff was the one who recommended me to the place that got me a job at Freemarket. I surrounded myself with people who were, you know, were brilliant people who were all focused on a goal, and it, you know, totally changed my perspective on things. But yeah, at that place, it was not like the atmosphere was compelling me to work hard. Mm-hmm. There were posters on the wall from Motivation Place Company. That was how they wanted to motivate you. Not by putting you anything into your paycheck.
I mean, yes. I'm trying to think back to that time. I mean, at the beginning, you know, yes, $7 an hour, but I'm getting paid to play on computers instead of cook hamburgers. That's good. I like this. And, you know, I'm trying to think. I mean, I don't remember. I mean, until the time that I left the company and made a nice raise, I don't remember, you know, being unmotivated because of pay or anything, but maybe I was just naive.
I think you were.
Probably.
Because
I was just happy to be getting paid to play on computers. And write my own database abstraction layer because I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't figure out the published one. Oh, the good old days.
Yeah, we didn't know anything. It was the beginning of my programming career, really. It was long before I knew how to write programs for business. I mean, now, yeah, I'm a completely different person, but I'm also making five times as much money.
Yep.
It's a totally different landscape now.
I still wouldn't want to manage you. Manage a good friend?
That's problematic just in, you know, in point of fact. But I don't think I'd be a bad employee for your company.
No. I apologize if that was the impression. I think I was more so thinking about the management of a good close friend. Even if they're mostly doing what they need to be doing, it's... I don't know, I don't have enough management training in me to handle that.
Neither do I. I think that's why I kind of never, you know, ascended to management or got into it, really. It's a lot easier just to do something you're good at.
Yeah, I don't really see myself. I mean, it'd be interesting to see. I mean, who knows how this is going to grow, right? But I'm not looking to get into a position where I don't do any real work. And I just manage people. That's not what I'm interested in. On the opposite side, when I was at the Trip, which was hardly another... It was another shitty company. It was,
right.
was not, you know, good company like now. But, you know, I wasn't in IT at the Trip. I was in the web development, you know, part side of the house. But their IT manager, his problem was that he was not a good manager. He was a good executor, you know. But he had to manage people, but he... wanted to do the work, you know. That was a messed up.
Check. Now we have to. I told you we have to replace this thing.
It's back now. That was a messed up dynamic because
it's like this thing is running on tubes.
Yeah, it's. You gotta keep the tubes warm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get it replaced.
Have you sent in that invoice?
I will. This week.
The as we were driving home, Jeff says,
I know, I suck.
It was June.
I know, Greg. I feel shitty about it, but... Yes, I gotta do it. I'll do it. I gotta do it before the end of the year or we won't get the money, so...
Yeah.
So I will do it. I am sorry. I suck.
It's November.
I know, and it's money. I have no excuse for not asking for money, but I'm not even going to say but. I suck. I won't try to mitigate it at all.
Okay. As long as you embrace it.
I don't know what to say. I suck.
Oh, it's too easy.
I mean, I want to try to give excuses, but I won't because they're not good.
Everyone
knows I have a family and I'm busy. Not a good excuse. So
you leave yourself open because it's not like you don't have time to send an invoice.
I know. It takes like no time.
Oh. I don't wanna rail on Jeff. That's not the point of this. I don't want to get Jeff upset. Or pounding his hand with a hammer like he's doing now.
It's a little hammer with a bottle opener.
Yeah, but it's like, Jeff, man, bad Jeff. keeps hitting himself with a hammer. Why can't I be better? It's okay, Jeff. We accept you like you are. If you weren't like you are, then you wouldn't be you, and that would be bad.
Wouldn't be that a-hole that picks bad passwords.
Now, the question is, will you ever have a password kill one equals bad? Because I think that's a good password.
Not memorable enough.
It's memorable for us.
Yep. But not the all the other people at the company.
The other thing I did at Nauticom. But what I find awesome is that my like I said, my sidewalk server technology is coming to fruition. It's actually a pretty damn good idea. You weatherproof your servers, you keep them outside, you don't have to worry about cooling and any of that nonsense.
What if it's sunny and hot out, though?
Well, okay, you may have to worry about some cooling, but you don't have to worry about, you know, these massive cool centers.
There's a fucking fruit fly in my beer. Spit it out! Spit it out! I got a fruit fly in
infestation.
Infestation. And it's crazy because it's November. I didn't get fruit flies during the summer months. Like, I mean, not bad like we have gotten previous years, but past week or two, fruit flies are everywhere. I'm like, there's not fruit out. There's not, you know, like
beer.
Compost garbage. Yeah, I haven't left. I rinse out all the beer bottles. I don't know where these fruit flies are congregating anymore. There, actually use the hammer.
I think it's dead.
Fruit fly versus hammer. Who wins? Also, you know, fruit flies go through a lot of generations really quickly, so you can watch evolution with fruit flies. Every year, they're easy to catch or swat at the beginning of the year. By the end of the year, the only ones that are left are the ninjas. You can't fucking catch them. I mean, seriously, they get so much harder at the end of the year.
Hopefully, is this something you've actually like noticed? And this
year, yes. I mean, in May they're easy to grab out of the air, squash them. But like the ones that are upstairs now, you ain't catching them, not with your hands.
You're basing your methodology on anecdotal evidence.
Just saying, they're fucking ninjas.
I don't think you can smack enough to really affect the generations, because you're talking about hundreds of thousands.
See, look how fast that one's going. It has nothing to do with the beer in me. I'm teasing. I don't think it's real science. Come on.
I think it's more to do with temperature than anything else. I think you artificially heat the house, and that increases their temperature, which makes them fly faster.
Nah, even before, I mean, okay, good hypotheses, but they are faster in August when the air conditioning is still on than they are in May.
Right, but the air conditioning doesn't necessarily, it makes pockets of hot and cold.
But I'm not, I mean, you said heating the house.
Right.
You know, it's not, the house isn't being heated then. Oh, you're saying it's just warmer in general.
I think overall, it's, you know, it actually
they're
tends
sluggish when they're easy to catch. That could be. Fucking fruit flies.
Just a hypothesis. Something is testable, so it works as a hypothesis. You know, they are
iPad Mini.
Oh, really? Are you gonna talk about that?
I don't know. What do you think about it? I guess not much.
I
got him!
So much for the ninja part, right? Boom! Dead ninja. Fly. But I was considering getting one until I had to pay $1,600 for my car and everything, so that kind of took away the iPad money. I think that the iPad Mini looks really cool, but I probably am going to wait for the Retina one, the next one, which will probably be faster and have a Retina this way.
You know, I haven't seen it. I gotta go to the Apple Store to get my hands on, because I'm curious about how light it is. I hear it's crazy light. You know, so you're trading the high res for the crazy light. You know, and Heather's iPad has some heft to it, you know. It's not super easy to hold up over your head, you know, when you're laying in bed and reading and stuff like that. You know, it just, so it'd be neat to have a more Kindle-like, you know, Kindle-weighted type, like, iPad. And we're also trying to figure out if we should get an iDevice for the kids. I almost feel like an asshole saying it, you know, like, I'm not that kind of person that gets my kids shit like that.
Yeah.
But it can be a pretty educational device.
Better than that LeapFrog shit.
Actually, LeapFrog gets pretty good reviews from, like, Engadget and stuff.
It gets good reviews, but I don't think kids are as interested in it as they are in, like...
Allison has the LeapFrog Explorer, you know, kind of like a DS type, yeah, like, one. Yeah, like, and she plays it a lot. The games are pretty educational. She, if you ask her her color, like from the one game, if you ask her, you know, if you take red and yellow, what color do you get? You know, 4 year old, or even when she was 3, she knew that. Take, you know, blue and yellow, what do you get? Take, you know, she knew the secondary colors. And that impressed the hell out of me. And there, you know, there's math to a certain degree. She's
math is hard. I tried to show my niece, who's 9, the periodic table. She said, that's boring.
Math, you know, Allison's to the point where sometimes she'll get like +1. Like, without having to count it out. And other times she won't. And then, like, I asked her, what's 5 plus 3? And she's like, 8. It's one of the standard questions in one of the games she plays.
Right, right.
So,
by she just remembers the
rote memorization.
Yeah.
She knows 5 plus 3 is 8. She doesn't know why 5 plus 3 is 8.
Why is 5 plus 3 8?
Right.
Can you prove it?
I mean, so the Leapster stuff is pretty good. I don't think I'd want to spend the money on the Leap Pad when I could go sort of like, actually Heather asked me today, you know, iPad 2, which you can get the iPad 2 for about $399. iPad Mini is $329. You know, the Retina iPad is more.
Right.
But you can get the iPad 2, $399, $329. And then the iPod Touch is it $299?
I think so. Maybe $399.
No, that'd be less than the iPad Mini if that was the case.
It's slimmer than the iPad, than the iPhone 5, the iPod, the new iPod.
So, I mean, those are the options. Like, do one of those iDevices, if we treat it as an educational device and an entertainment device, should we get it for a 4-year-old and 2-year-old?
I think, what about the original iPad?
Can you buy, I mean, I guess
sure, you can eBay it or something. I mean, and you could probably get it for $100 or maybe 150.
Yeah, maybe that's an idea.
And you know, yeah, it'll
run, it'll run the stuff,
though. Yeah, it's slower and stuff, but it'll run all the stuff she wants to run, and it's definitely going to be a cheaper option than getting an iPad 2 or something.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I didn't think of going third, you know, aftermarket used iPad. Might even be able to get an iPad 2 used for a decent price. I like that idea.
I think that solves all your issues there. Let's see what eBay has
for... Not all of them. It still doesn't solve the issue of me being a douchebag is buying my 4-year-old an iPad.
Well, they're going for pretty high price here. I mean, $202, $204, $230, 16 gigabyte, $193. It's got to be around $200, $250 for a first-generation iPad.
Ugh. When you could buy a new one with some warranty for, you know, that's hard to call, you know? Getting that first-gen iPad for that?
Yeah.
I can't believe it has that resale value still.
Well, here's one that's has 1 hour left, and it's a first generation 16 gigabyte tablet for $152 right now, but it may increase as it gets to its end point. I sold my phone, iPhone 4, for $250. Unlocked.
Apple likes to, or I mean, Apple does have that resale value, insane resale value. Here we go. iPad education. Transforming the way the teachers teach and students learn.
I'm starting to see ones that are around $150. But I think it's going to rise up to $200 at least by the time you pick. If I do Wi-Fi only 16 gigabytes. All right, because that's all you need for a kid. Yeah, you're around $150, $200 at least.
$199 is the cheapest iPod Touch. Or, you know, is, you know, one of those Android tablets, is that a way to go? You know, is that where...
I saw somebody with a Galaxy S3 at the Google employee, so he had his, like, or maybe it was a Nexus. It was a Nexus, and he had an Android phone. He had a Google shirt on. I assumed he was a Google employee. It was a handsome-looking tablet, but it was right before the iPad came out.
I can't believe they're still selling the iPod Classic.
I can.
They haven't revved it in forever.
But the beauty of the iPod Classic, if you ask me, is that that wheel is great. That wheel really is fantastic. And the touch thing sucks for music. It's terrible.
I guess the wheel's good. But why don't they put the wheel on the touchscreen if it's so good?
Because that's not the way they're interface works, and they're going towards a modular interface that they can use across entire platforms. But they have a patent on the wheel, and they're going to keep that patent.
I mean, what is it? You get 106. Oh, there's only one you can buy. You can only buy the 160 gig. $250. It's the only one they sell now. We have the option of silver or black.
Still uses a, probably, still uses a, 160 gigabytes, so it would have to, for that price, use a non-solid-state hard drive.
It's like 1.5-inch micro drive. Yeah. But they stopped, like, taking software. Like, there's, like, you can't get games for the click wheel anymore and stuff like that, you know? So this, you're basically buying, you know, all the stuff you used to be able to get on iPod Classic, which was still a limited set, but... none of that's good anymore. You're only getting the music player.
Yep.
I mean, you know, Apple's not dumb. When something is not worth maintaining, they kill it. So they must be selling enough iPod Classics.
I think that click wheel is one of the best interfaces ever. And it's too bad that it won't be used elsewhere.
Nano's interesting. That seems like a weird market all of a sudden. $150, 16 gigabyte Nano, but doesn't run iOS. Or at least it's a crippled, you know, crazy crippled iOS.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with the Nano. There's a Shuffle.
Well, the Shuffle was just always hard to use. An iPod with no display. 2 gigabytes, $50. That's why, because someone wants the bottom of the market Apple. It's $50.
All right. Well, I think that's enough for
Apple time. Review Weekly at Craft Beer Radio.
We'll catch you, I don't know about next week, but the week after that. And Thanksgiving week, eat your turkeys. Gobble, gobble. Oh,
my mom's buying her Thanksgiving dinner from Giant Eagle. All of it.
It'll probably be good.
I know, but she's like, oh, this will be the best Thanksgiving ever, like, you know, because she won't have to do work. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of missing the point, isn't it? I mean,
I have a little bit of this purist thing in me where it's like, it's fun to cook Thanksgiving dinner. It takes time, and with my, you know, 2-year-old and 4-year-old, I can't commit to doing that. But if I could, I would love to spend 6 to 8 hours working on Thanksgiving dinner.
Hell yeah. Cooking is awesome.
Yeah.
Cleaning up sucks.
When you cook, you usually aren't asked to do the cleaning, so that works out well, too.
Yes. All right. Talk to you soon.